and welcome to Wendelicious at Goal. I'm your host, Wendy Volker, and I am Wendelicious. In 2018, just this year, I lost 48 and a half pounds and earned lifetime membership using the Weight Watchers program. Each week on this show, I will be sharing my personal successes and struggles and providing support and motivation to others on a weight loss journey, whether or not it's Weight Watchers. The views expressed on this show are my own and are not endorsed by Weight Watchers. So let's go. Hey, happy new week. I hope your week is starting off great. Mine so far has been pretty darn awesome. Thank you very much. I know it is only Monday, but I have got a good feeling about things. I started off the week with a fantastic Weight Watchers meeting. I go on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and it is always the best way for me to start the week. I don't go to church. This is my church. I go to check in with my friends and we have a great time. It's just a fantastic meeting. This week's meeting was nothing different. My leader is amazing. There's a great group of people in the meeting room and it was really fun and inspirational. And a few of the things that we talked about at the meeting inspired me about the things I'm going to talk about in this week's episode. So you have lots to look forward to. It's going to be fun. Okay, then today I finished getting organized for our company's annual golf outing, which is this Wednesday. Here's the good part. I am 100% completely organized for the event, and I'm feeling really good about everything. I even think that it's not going to rain, which is a fantastic thing for a golf outing. You always worry as an event planner when you have outdoor events. The weather is always a crapshoot. It's always a roll of the dice. And I've been checking the weather every hour, it seems, for the last 4 days, and it keeps changing and changing and changing. But last I looked, it's supposed to be partly cloudy and 76 degrees on Sunday. Sounds good to me. So let's just keep our fingers crossed that it stays that way. So I have Wednesday to look forward to the golf outing. It's always a fun day. And then, of course, this weekend is the big Cleveland Marathon weekend. Now, you'll know if you've heard any of my past episodes that I will be running in the Challenge Series, which is a 5K race on Saturday morning and a 10K race on Sunday. Now, I'm really just doing it because I'll be getting 3 medals at the end when I'm done. I'm really just in it for the medals. Although I did get an email today from the race organizers saying that there will be a beer garden after the race is over on Sunday. Beer garden opens at 9 a.m. So I'm also in it for the day drinking. I'm sorry. That's terrible. That's terrible. That's really not the primary reason I'm running. I'm actually running because I like running, which is so weird. If you know me or ever met me, so weird. I love running. I don't know. I just love it. So I'm really excited about Saturday and Sunday. I know it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard work, especially Sunday running a 10K, which is a distance that I have not done yet. But I'm really excited to challenge myself. They call it the Challenge Series, and that is the total truth. Running 2 days in a row is something I haven't done very often. So that in itself is a challenge. But running 5K on Saturday, which is 3 miles, and then 6 miles, a 10K is like 6 miles on Sunday. I know I can do it. I'm not going to finish at the front of the pack. I never do. But I'm really just excited to do it, and I'm going to finish, and I'm going to have 3 medals and a beer at the end, so it's going to be a great day. And then today's super, really awesome, excellent, fantastic, big, huge news is that I got an email telling me that I have been invited to audition for Jeopardy! I took the online test a couple of months ago, and I didn't really ever expect to hear from them again. But apparently, I passed the online test well enough that I have been invited to do an in-person audition in Cleveland at the end of June. Oh my God. Oh my God. Being on Jeopardy has actually been a lifelong dream of mine. I mean, since I was a kid. Now, when I was in high school, I participated on the Scholastic Quiz Bowl team, and I've always been a total trivia nerd. Nobody has ever beaten me at Trivial Pursuit. I read the email from Jeopardy when I was at work today, and I screamed so loud that everybody ran out of their offices to find out if I was being murdered. Nope. I'm just going to audition for Jeopardy like you do. Oh my God, I am so psyched. It took me half an hour to calm down and move on with my day. I was so psyched. I'm still psyched. And it's been, I don't know, 10 hours since I got that email, and I'm still just jittery about it. I cannot wait. So I'm going to be watching a lot of Jeopardy and playing Jeopardy on my Amazon Echo, and I don't know, just absorbing myself in a lot of trivia for the next month and a half. So I'm just totally psyched. I'm a little nervous, but more psyched than nervous. So it has been a super great week for me so far, and it is only Monday. Things are going to be so great this week. I hope your week is going to be great this week too. Now, I hope you have a plan for sticking to your plan this week and that only good things come your way. But if you've been struggling like I have, I want you to just consider today a new day, a fresh start, hitting the reset button. This week is another fresh week to just get yourself back on track. Start tracking today. Start tracking with whatever meal is coming up next. If you're listening to this first thing in the morning, start tracking with breakfast. If you're listening to this after dinner, start tracking your after dinner snack, or start tracking tomorrow morning with your breakfast. Just start. You will be so glad you did. You can do it. Okay, so this week's topic came to me as I was sitting in the meeting room, listening to all of the other members talk about, you know, their stuff. So this week's topic is actually two parts. Know your limits, set your limits. Basically, understanding your own personal limits when it comes to food and weight loss, and then being able to set yourself some limits, some rules, if you will, to guide you along your way. Let's start with know your limits. Okay, here's something to know. Daily, weekly points. This is easy. And most of the work is already done for you on this one. Every Weight Watchers member has a calculated set of daily smart points and a set of weekly smart points, which are based on your age, your height, and your weight. So you know these numbers because if you remember, they were given to you when you joined. They're in your app all the time. So you know these numbers. And when you know those numbers, you know your absolute limits for the week. You can have your daily points every day, and you can, but you're not required to, use your allotment of weekly points throughout the week as well. Now, you know, every day you can, you don't have to, you can roll over up to 4 daily smart points into your weekly points bank, and then you can use them on a special occasion if you wish, but you don't have to. But sometimes just knowing that they are there, that you can use them, it's very comforting. Well, maybe you have a graduation party coming up this weekend. It is the season. So you roll over a few smart points a couple of days into your bank, and now you've got enough points to eat a piece of graduation cake without any guilt. Awesome. But don't forget, the reason you are able to enjoy that cake guilt-free is because you know how many points you have in your bank and you know exactly how to use them. You know your limits on points. And knowing is half the battle. Thank you, G.I. Joe. All right, here's another thing to know. Trigger foods. We've all got them. Trigger foods are foods that have the potential for setting off a cascade of poor food choices, possibly even binges. I have a few trigger foods. Yes, I do. Cookie butter. Oh my God. Have you ever tried cookie butter from Trader Joe's? Good Lord. So cookie butter, peanut butter, but not all butters, not regular butter. And my third trigger food is donuts. Now, I think that I have figured out how to manage peanut butter because I love it so much. It's probably my number one. I love it so much that I didn't want to never have it again in my life. So I figured out a way to be able to include it in my life without going overboard. So what I have to do is measure out 1 or 2 tablespoons only. 1 tablespoon is 3 smart points and 2 tablespoons is 6 smart points. And I only buy the all-natural kind that does not contain sugar. The peanut butter that I have is just peanuts, and salt. So it doesn't have that sugar in it, which is probably what actually triggers the whole situation for me is the sugar. But it's very manageable for me then if I measure it out. But if I happen to dip into my husband's stash of Peter Pan, forget it. Like I said, the sugar in the peanut butter triggers the release of dopamine in my brain. It's like a drug, and then I cannot stop eating it. The food reward response has been unleashed, and I cannot control myself. I mean, I remember when I was in college, you know how the image of, you're sitting around eating a pint of Ben and Jerry's? Well, my roommate and I would sit around and eat a jar of peanut butter, which I think is like infinitely worse than Ben and Jerry's. But that was what we did. We sat and enjoyed spoonfuls of peanut butter while we were watching TV. I'm not sure how much, if any, weight that my roommate gained that year, but oh boy, that was the sophomore 60, I think, for me. I mean, those are some tough times. But so as far as the peanut butter goes, the same thing goes for the cookie butter and the donuts. All that pure sugar just fires off the pleasure centers in my brain and unleashes a tsunami that usually sets me back for at least a day, sometimes more. So what I've discovered that I have to do is just not ever have those things in the house. Just, I cannot buy cookie butter. I can't. And I cannot buy donuts. I just can't do it. I can't have it in my house ever. And it's the only way I won't eat them. So if you have a trigger food, and I bet you do, you're going to have to figure out a way to deal with them. But first, you will need to identify what those triggers are and what they cause you to do, and identifying, if that's bad or whatever. But you have to be brutally honest with yourself here and really dig deep to figure this out. It is really important to know and understand what you're up against, because if you don't know, you can't stop it. So figure out what it is that's really your trigger and figure out if there's a plan for you to do something about it. I mean, the plan may be just, don't buy it. Or the plan may be weigh and measure, track, and, get on with it. So if you have these trigger foods, you have to ask yourself, can you realistically limit yourself? Can you measure out for yourself a reasonable and trackable portion and stick with only having that one portion? If not, then you probably should just not have it in the house, at least right now. It is easier to say no once in the store rather than 12 or 1,200 times at home. So if you don't bring it in the house, you won't have to keep saying no. And as far as triggers go, situations can be triggers too, not just food. Well, do you know what your trigger situations are? Is it a buffet at Golden Corral? Is it a vacation or a cruise? Is it just dinners out with family and friends? Is it alcohol? So try to think about these situations before they occur and set yourself a plan to deal with them. Now, Weight Watchers, back in the day, if I have any of you old school members out there who did all the programs back in the day like I did, Weight Watchers used to have a set of tools that they called Tools for Living. I actually did find an archived link to the list of the old Tools for Living. It's an old archived Weight Watchers site. I will post a link to this in the show notes. So these Tools for Living, it was like 10 little things that you can use to help you along on your weight loss journey. And one of them was called mental rehearsing. Basically, set the scene inside your head and rehearse yourself making the best choice in that moment. Like ordering the salad instead of the bacon cheeseburger, or going for a walk instead of sitting on the couch all night, or only having one drink at your cousin's wedding, even though it's an open bar and, hey, free gin and tonics. Well, we've all been there, right? Well, anything more than two drinks and you're eating everything on the dessert table and then you're dancing on the bar. Two is your limit, Wendy. Two is your limit. Okay. Well, here's how you do it. Imagine yourself in the situation. Watch yourself as if you were in a movie and ask yourself these questions so you can create this very specific situation in your head. Where are you? What are you saying? Who are you saying it to? What are you doing? How are you doing it? All right, so now step into that movie and practice responding the way that new you, in control you, wants to respond. See what you'll do. Hear what you'll say. Feel what you will feel when you encounter the real situation. And practice this several times before the event. You know, practice ordering one drink and then ordering a glass of water as your next drink. Or practice only ordering or practice telling the waiter you don't want the bread basket. Just say, no, thank you. I do not want any bread. Just, you know, practice that over and over again. And if you rehearse the scene in your mind a few times, it will really be that much easier to actually do the best thing in real life when it comes to it. All right, so maybe you've got a little bit of a better handle on what your personal limits are and your trigger foods and your trigger situations. So now you can modify your actions maybe and set yourself a plan to stick to your rules and stick to your limits. So the other half of today's topic is similar. Set your limits. It's basically setting yourself some rules that will set you up for success. Okay, first, set your limits on when to eat and, more importantly, when to stop eating. Okay, so the ability to feel hunger and fullness is a quality that we were born with. If you think about it, babies and little kids do not need to be told how much milk or food to eat to stay healthy. Instead, when they're full, they stop being interested in the food and they just stop eating. Imagine that. Now, as we mature, of course, this ability becomes blunted or goes away. We learn to ignore it. We confuse it with thirst. That does happen. Or we forget it altogether or ignore it, you know, willingly ignore it. But luckily, we can train ourselves to tune in to our ability to feel hunger and fullness by visualizing a hunger scale. Okay, we did talk about this at our meeting this week, and it was great. I loved it. So imagine a meter ranging from 0 to 10, and this is how you will define your hunger. 0 means you are very, very hungry. It's been more than 4 hours since you last ate. One of the members in our meeting compared it. She's Jewish, and she compared it to Yom Kippur, which is their fasting day. So she said on Yom Kippur, they fast from like 7 o'clock the night before till, you know, 4 p.m. or 5 p.m. the next day. I apologize if I have this wrong. I'm not Jewish, but it's basically almost a 24-hour period where you don't eat in observance of this holiday. So she said on during Yom Kippur, she is a 0. She is super hungry. And then at the other end of the scale, 10 means stuffed, like at the end of Thanksgiving dinner. You could not eat another morsel, not even a waffle thin mint. So the goal, though, here is to eat until you're satisfied, not to eat till you're a 10. So when you're eating, you want to aim for a 5, a 6, or a 7 on the hunger scale. Here's what those numbers mean. A 5 is neutral. You're neither hungry nor full. Food is not on your mind. I don't know what that feels like, but hey, I can learn. All right, 6 is slightly satisfied. So there's food in your belly, but you could eat more. If you stop now, though, this meal may not last longer than 2 hours. So maybe you just had some Chinese food. Okay, number 7 is satisfied. And satisfied means you're no longer hungry. And while it might be easy to eat more for comfort reasons or for the fact that the food tastes really, really good, you do feel content and satisfied and you don't need to eat more. So kind of aim for that. Like, it sounds like you want to aim for maybe 6 or 7 rather than 5, you know, to kind of take the edge off any hunger. So maybe 6 or 7. So that's the key. But I know it is so easy to keep eating even when you're not hungry because food is freaking delicious. Am I right? If I knew how to stop eating when I was full, I wouldn't have had to join Weight Watchers. I have a feeling that you're the same. This is so hard, though. I know. I don't have a handle on it myself. Not fully. Probably, I really just don't have a handle on it. Like anything else, though, it takes practice. It's like a muscle that's really, really weak right now, like my bicep. But the more you exercise it, the stronger it will get. So the more you practice eating until you're satisfied and not stuffed, the easier it will become to stop eating when you are no longer full. And what a miracle that would be. Am I right? Well, let's make this our homework for the week. Practice checking in with yourself. Check in on that hunger scale before, during, and after your meals. See how you feel. See if anything changes. Start small, though. Just see if you can identify any feeling. Like at the beginning, before you eat. I mean, this goes back to mindful eating too. Like, be aware of everything that's going on around you as you're sitting down to eat. Like, how hungry are you? Are you really starving? Is your stomach really growling? Or are you just, you know, sort of hungry and maybe you don't need to eat that much? But just kind of sit with it for a bit and see what you feel, and then keep doing this and then see if your behavior changes. Just see what happens. Like I said, just start small, and then as you, you know, get a little better with identifying your feelings, and maybe you'll be more in touch with everything and you'll be able to stop eating when you're satisfied instead of stopping eating when you're 9 or 10 and you have to undo a button on your pants. I'm not saying that I've ever done that, haha, but, you know, it'll take practice. So I'm really going to try this week, is to just really pay attention to that hunger scale. All right, here's another thing you can do. Set yourself a limit for those tricky situations. Maybe it's no bread at the restaurant, no bread basket, or only two drinks at the wedding. I keep talking about that. It seems like I might have a problem with drinking and open bars at a wedding. I may have a problem with that. I haven't been to a wedding in a really long time, so I don't know if I still do have a problem with that. But anyway, so that's my issue. You know, only two drinks at the wedding, or only one piece of cake at that going away party at the office because you planned for it. So set yourself a limit in these situations. Go back to the mental rehearsing and create a plan and a script for setting those limits and making it happen. And here's another limit you should think about setting. Set yourself a limit on those pesky 0-point foods. I know a lot of people run into this problem. They wonder why on this freestyle program that they're gaining weight. I think it's the 0-point foods. I've said it before and I'll say it again. 0-point foods are not free foods. They still have calories. So set yourself a limit of a normal serving size. A normal serving size of chicken. 4 to 6 ounces, not a whole pound of chicken because it's 0 points. Or don't eat 6 eggs a day. Maybe stick to 1 or 2. Be reasonable. Set yourself some reasonable limits. All right, and here's a good one, a limit to set. Set yourself a limit on how long and if you're going to stick around in bad situations. For instance, if you are dealing with a food pusher, and you know you have, someone who tries to force food on you when they know darn well that you are trying to lose weight because of their own messed up issues with food, you are well within your rights to say no or no thank you as many times as it takes to get the pushing to stop. You are under no obligation to let them win and to eat the food that they're forcing upon you. It's your body. You don't have to eat something just because somebody says, oh, you're just so skinny. Please, woman. If I was just so skinny, I wouldn't be on Weight Watchers. Okay. So you are also well within your rights to remove yourself from that situation entirely. And also any situation that has the potential to sabotage your weight loss efforts. Get out if you need to. But only you know when enough is enough. So set yourself a limit and stick to it. So this week, I think we should try to get to know ourselves a little bit better and get to know what our own personal limitations are. Knowing what we can do and what we should do and what we're able to do gives us the power to make the changes that we need to do to be successful on this weight loss journey. Can't stop with 1 ounce of nuts? Then don't bring nuts into the house. Can't help yourself when the bread basket arrives at the restaurant? Well, tell the waiter not to bring the bread basket. Got a big graduation party coming up this weekend? Well, rehearse how you're going to deal with the food situation and keep practicing until you've got the script down cold. Then you know you will be able to handle the actual real-life situation when it gets here. You've got this. You can do this. This entire journey from start to goal is well within your power and well within your control. You have all the power within you. Nobody else can do this for you. All that power, you just have to discover it and unleash it. Think it, feel it, do it. I believe in you. Okay, on to listener email. Milo writes, if my spouse is doing Weight Watchers and I do the household cooking, can I tinker with recipes to make them more palatable by doing things like, for example, substituting cheese when the recipe calls for something less than cheese, like part skim or non-fat, quote-unquote, cheese, while leaving the spouse none the wiser? Well, thanks for the question, Milo. I suspect you already know the answer, but here it goes anyway. Please, please, please don't sabotage your spouse's weight loss efforts. There is no way she would ever be none the wiser if you double or triple the amount of points or calories in her dinner by putting full-fat cheese in there. Losing weight is hard enough as it is without being thrown under the bus by people who don't like healthy food. I have to agree with you though, non-fat or reduced fat cheese sucks. I always use the full-fat stuff. I just use less. So that actually would be my advice. Use the real stuff, yes, but just use less of it and use highly flavorful cheese like feta, sharp cheddar, something that actually has flavor to it. And if you do use less of the real stuff, there is actually a small chance that she would be none the wiser. So that is the only circumstance I would let you replace the hashtag fake cheese. And I promise I won't tell your wife. I also have another suggestion, but you might not like this one. Is it possible to make two versions of dinner? One for you and one for her? That way she gets to stay 100% on program with her fake cheese and you get to enjoy your real cheese and stay married? Just a thought. I know it's a pain in the rear to cook two dinners. I do it myself every day, but your wife is worth it. Be supportive. You'll reap the benefits. A happy, healthy wife who will love you for supporting her weight loss efforts. I'm sorry, I know that answer sounded a little bit snarky, and truth be told, Milo is a good friend of mine, and I do know him and his wife, so I was joking around with him a little bit, sorta. He knows what I mean. Real cheese. Don't you dare slap real cheese in her recipe and not tell her. I'm gonna call her. All right, well, that's it. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave me a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. Your reviews will help more people find me, and then they'll start getting the same motivation and inspiration that you're getting. It actually really does super duper help if you leave a rating and a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does move the podcast up in the rankings so more people can find it. So if you have a hankering to do some online reviewing, head on over to Apple Podcasts and give Wendelicious at Goal 5 stars. You can also find my show on Stitcher, Google Play, and now on TuneIn. Subscribe and please share the show with your friends. And maybe if you're in a Weight Watchers meeting, maybe, I don't know, say, hey, everybody, I found this new podcast. I really like it. Maybe you should check it out. Wendelicious at Goal. You can also find me on Facebook. Search for the Wendelicious at Goal Facebook page and find the Wendelicious at Goal Facebook group. That's a closed group, which is a better way to share posts and comments privately. I've been doing some polls up there and asking for suggestions and thoughts about what to do on upcoming shows. So please head on over there. I've added the link into the show notes. So click on over and join up. I'm also on Instagram where I post photos of food and my puppies. And if you find me on Twitter, I cannot be held responsible for the things you find on there, so proceed at your own risk. I'm not going to post a link to my Twitter account, but, you know, you can search for me. I will post all my profile links, except Twitter, in the show notes. Don't forget, drop me a line and tell me how you're doing, how things are going, and what the limits are maybe you set for yourself this week. My email address is wendeliciousradio@gmail.com. That's wendeliciousradio@gmail.com. I really, really do want to hear from you. So have a great week and meet me back here next Monday. Next Monday, I will have just have run both of my races in the Cleveland Marathon, so it may be a short show next Monday. I may be too tired to do anything more than like 5 minutes, just say, hey, what's up? So I will see you here next Monday, QFA, and let's do this.